If you have your Bible, turn with us tonight to Ephesians chapter 5. We want to look at something tonight that'll help our heart grow fonder, closer to the Lord than we've ever been. If you want to be close tonight, I believe everybody in here wants to be close to the Lord. I believe you want to have a relationship with the God of glory. The only way you can have that is if we begin to allow God to help us in the hour that we live. If we begin to let Him help us, begin to let Him fill us, then we can begin to have the joy and the peace that God wants us to have. Ephesians chapter 5, I want to look at verse 18. And the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now we look at this evening, and we preached it this morning, and we asked the question, when Jesus come, would you be found faithful? Will you be found faithful when the Lord comes back? You say, "Well, preacher, I'd like to be found faithful. I'd like to be working for the Lord. I'd like to be doing what God would have me to do." Well, the only way to do that tonight is to sell out for the Lord. We can't do it within ourselves. We've got to have some help. I want to say we've got a helper tonight in the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is here to help us in this journey. We're not in it alone. We have help. Amen. He said you don't need to be drunk with wine. Paul said all that'll do is give you a hangover. All that'll do is give you a superfluid a little time of rejoicing. But he said you need to be filled with the Spirit. He said you want to have true joy in this life. You want to have peace unspeakable. You want to have the joys of God. You want to have the love of God to shed abroad in your heart and to shed abroad in the world. He said, you got to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that's not something that takes place one time, but it's something that takes place in the heart and the mind of a child of God continuously as we grow close to the Lord. We remember, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was resurrected, before he went back to heaven, he took the disciples. He began to disciple them, began to minister to them for 40 days. He told them about the things that must need come to pass, and he led the time that he would be led up to go back to glory from which he come. I'm so glad tonight I'm serving a living Savior. I'm so glad tonight he's not dead. He's not one of these fellas in a tomb somewhere, but he's alive and well at the right hand of the Father tonight. Ain't you glad for that? I'm so glad I know that, and I know him, and he knows me. Well, that's exciting. That stirs something in my soul. That gives me the Cain Heppets. Amen. I just can't help loving the one that loved me enough to come and die for my sins, to save my soul from a devil's hell. Amen. Boy, it just gets better. I tell you, I just can't contain it sometimes. But Paul begins to write to him, and he said, not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, we said that being filled with Spirit means to be being filled. That's a constant thing. That's something that we have to strive for every day. That's something that we have to desire to have, is the filling of the Spirit. Amen? But we go back and we see how this thing began. You remember when the Spirit of God came? When the Spirit of God came there at Pentecost? Go back to Acts chapter, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. For just a minute. Let's just look at this tonight. I'm going to try to take my time, but I ain't going to take too much time. Amen. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. He said, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But now listen to this. But wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me." Now God said the Father's made you a promise. He said, I want you to abide here at Jerusalem till you receive the promise, till you receive that God's got for you. Amen? For you to have. Verse 5 says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." He said, there's going to be something so supernatural take place here in this place in a little while. He said, you just tarry and you wait. I believe so. What we need to do is we need to gather together, tarry and wait on the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost of God. We've got to have it. If you're a child of God, you've got it. Amen. If you're a child of God, hey man, you've got the Holy Ghost of God. He's in you. He's part of you. He abides in you. Amen? But now look over it. Look over at verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power. Why do you need to wait on the Holy Ghost? God, so you can get power. So you can get that strength that you need. So you can get the strength to fight off the demons of hell. Amen? That try to compass you. Praise God, in this world we live. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost of God has come upon you. And you should be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. Now see what it starts. He said, when you get that power from on high, when God of glory comes in, He just fills you full. Amen. And dwelling spirit moves in and moves into your heart. When you become a born-again believer, that's when that takes place. Holy Spirit of God comes into you. There's only one baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's when you become a born-again believer. And from that time on, glory to God, you know you've got God with you.
Right.
Amen. You can't help but know something as big as God moves into you. You can't help but know it. Amen. It's a good feeling. It's something, praise God, that you'll never get over when the Holy Ghost of God moves in. Amen. And he said when it moves in, he said when the Holy Ghost of God, when the Spirit of God, when the power from on high comes upon you, he said then you can begin to be witnesses. He said you can begin to be witness in Jerusalem. He said it needs to start right where you're at. And then it'll spread out from there. Amen. Lord be to God, hey listen, if we ever get on fire for God, we ever get enough of the Holy Ghost, God, praise God, we realize that He's living in us, it'll start to spread out from here. Hey, we're starting to see it already. We had a Holy Ghost revival here a while back and it's spreading. Hey man, it's like a cancer. Praise God, it's just going out all over the community. It helped folks and it's just going out all over. Folks are still getting the benefits of that. Praise God, amen. Glory to God on high. Or just touching a soul. Come by a little old place like this and touching hearts and life, changing them forever. Amen. Glory to God. Only our God could do that. Let me say this evening, He's not, His arm ain't short. Amen. He's not lost any strength. Praise God, He's still the same yesterday and forever. He's still that God of power. That God that moves into you and begins to help you and encourage you. Praise God in the air that we live. Amen. But he said, once that power's come to you, once you receive the power, he said, then you can begin to be a witness. You got to have that power. You can't go out into it. I believe a lot of folks say, well, I don't understand why I can't get my family in. I don't understand why my coworkers don't get in. I don't understand this. I don't understand. It's because you don't have no power. We've got to have power. We get through the Holy Ghost of God. Amen, that filling of the Spirit day by day. Amen. You got that, when you got saved and you got born again, you asked the Lord to save you, come in your heart, you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He came in. But then you got to begin to give Him liberty. You got to let the Holy Spirit of God begin to work in you and through you to do that work that He wants to do. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, how do you do that? I'm glad you ask. He said, you go into Jerusalem, witness unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. How do we do that? How do we get what we need to be able to witness to everyone we see, to the whole world? God, you get it by just asking. You get it by seeking and you get it by knocking. Matthew chapter 7, the Bible gives us that. Amen. Now, we're everyone required to do this. Nobody's exempt. You must be Spirit-filled. No excuses. There's no excuses for us not to be Spirit-filled. There's no excuse. Amen. The only excuse we have is that we don't love God and we care nothing about Him. Care nothing about His Word. Amen. We must be Spirit-filled. There's no excuse for not being. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given to you. And what do we need to do if we need desiring to be filled with the Spirit every day? Just ask God. Say, God, hey, listen, they say, just ask God. Just fill me, Lord, every day. Say, Lord, just fill me full today. Give me what you have me to have so I can go on fire for you. Amen. So I wouldn't get slack, so I wouldn't slumber, but I could just stay in that good fight of faith. And I could never give up, and I won't give in. Amen. Praise God, I just need your strength today. So you begin to ask. And then he says you begin to seek. You begin to seek what God's got for you. Hey, you begin to realize that, hey, when you begin to ask that God's got it. and you begin to seek it. You begin to say, hey, Lord, just what have you got for me? Amen. Not for my brother, not for my sister, but Lord, for me. Lord God, what do you got for me? What can you give me? Amen. I need it today. I need it like never before. I need that strength, that power, that might. Amen. I need that conviction. I need that help and that hope that you have for me. Amen. You know, if we could ever get me straightened out, if we could ever get me fixed up, boy, then we could be a blessing to somebody else. But till we get us fixed up and we get self out of the way, we can't help nobody. But praise God, when we begin to ask and we begin to seek. Amen. He said, you have not because you ask not. Amen. But we need to seek the Lord, and we need to desire Him. We need to ask Him, and we need to seek Him. Amen. And we need to knock. He said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We begin to need to knock on the doors of the Word of God. Amen. Need to knock on the heaven's doors. And we need to just cry out to God. Say, Lord, I need you now. God, we need your strength. We need your might. We need your power. In the church one more time, as the things get worse all around us, we need you now like never before. We need God. If there's ever been a time we need God, it's now in the day we live. Amen. The devil's trying to suck up our loved ones, trying to suck up our children, trying to destroy our homes. But praise God, thank God, God's still on the throne. He's still able. But we got to begin to ask. We got to begin to seek. We got to get a knock on heaven's door. We got to be able to begin to get a hold of God. Amen. We need to do it. We can't. Hey, listen, there's no excuse for not. There's no excuse for not asking and seeking and knocking. Amen. God tells us to. He said to do that. Verse 80 says, for everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, he said, it shall be open. Amen. He said, if you ask, God said, you'll receive. He said, if you seek, he said, you'll find. And he said, if you'll knock, he said, God will open the doors of heaven. Amen. He said, when you begin to seek and to ask and to seek and to knock, things begin to happen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. It ain't church as usual. Praise God. Something begins to happen. Amen. Down at the house of God. When God's people come together and they begin to desire the things of God. Amen. They desire that feeling of the Spirit. They desire the Holy Spirit of God to touch our hearts and change our lives. And we begin to let Him. Amen. We begin to let Him. Things start to happen. Things that we can't even explain. We start seeing brothers and sisters in Christ start getting excited. Amen. Something starts bubbling up down in your soul. Hey, it's better than anything the world's got. It's better than the booze and the alcohol and the drugs. Amen. It's something that moves in your heart. And it just satisfies every desire. It satisfies, meets every need. Amen. Glory be to God. It's so wonderful and so fulfilling that you can't get enough of it. And the more that you desire it, the more you ask, the more you seek, the more you knock, the more you receive, the more God pours out the blessing, the more you begin to see, hey, God, you are real and you are the God of my life. Amen. Makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. You want to be found faithful, begin to seek the Holy Ghost. Begin to be filled with the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost, God's there. You don't have to seek Him. You just have to be filled with Him. Just let Him begin to do that work in you that He wants to do. That's the Spirit of God. Amen. It's not something to play with. It's real. It's alive. It's vibrant. It's working. And it's there to work. It's there to work for you. But He said you got to ask, you got to seek, and you got to knock. But there's a way that we got to do that. We can't just do it nonchalantly when we want to. We can't just ask and seek and knock when it's convenient. We've got to do it with some diligence. I mean, we've got to be diligent about seeking the Lord. Amen. We've got to allow the Lord to move in our hearts, our life, and we've got to desire that with a strong desire. I don't know about you, but I want more of Him than I've ever had. Amen. I just want Him to fill me and possess me. Glory be to God to the uttermost. I want Him to squeeze me and love me till there's no room for nothing else but Him. Amen. Amen. That's what I desire. That should be every one of our desires. You say, preacher, that's what I want too. Well, if you want it, ask, seek, knock, and it's yours. Amen. God promised it. Amen. You say, preacher, you got Bible for it? I'll show you in a minute. I want to get ahead of myself. But He said we got to be diligent. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Who's Him? God. Without faith. Do you have faith this morning, this evening? Do you got faith? Amen. Do you believe? Amen. He said, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." He is what? He is all in all. He is everything. He is altogether lovely. Amen. He is God Almighty. Amen. Did you hear? He's God Almighty. Amen. He's nothing too hard for God. I know you get tired of me saying that, but He's nothing too hard for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's alive, Brother Jeff. He's real. Glory be to God. There's nothing too hard for God because He is. Amen. Glory to God tonight. I wish I could express what I feel. Amen. Glory to God. He said, "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." I believe, don't you? "And that He is a rewarder." Now listen to this. "Of them who just nonchalantly seek Him." No, those that diligently seek Him. Amen. He said He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He said, you want something for God, you diligently seek it. You begin to ask. You begin to seek. You begin to knock. And praise God, you begin to receive. Amen. God will begin to fill you full to overflowing. I don't know about you, I don't want to be running on empty. I don't want to be running high full. I want to be running full all the time. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, listen. If we could ever get to running on full, we're living in a world today, most everybody's, they're pessimists. You ask them if they're full, they say, well, they're halfway. And they don't know if they're half empty or half full. Most of them say, well, I'm half empty. Amen. Glory be to God. You ought to be half full, desiring to be full. Amen. We ought to be plumb full of the Holy Ghost. God, how? By just diligently seeking Him. We have to diligently seek God in order to have to realize who He is and what He wants to do, what He can do, because He is the great I Am. Amen. Nothing short about Him. Nothing too hard for Him. He's able and willing to meet every need if we'll let Him tonight. And we begin to let Him. We begin to be that faithful few when we begin to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we begin to let the Holy Ghost of God minister our hearts. Give us that we need. That's all He wants to do. Amen. He just wants, Brother Rex wants to just snuggle up to us and point the direction. Now don't go that way, go this way. Now don't go that way, go this way. Now go this a little bit this way. Now a little bit that way. And you know what? Before you know it, you start listening to Him and you'll be going the right way. Amen. The right way is the Jesus way. Amen. We have to start doing it ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. We have to be diligently seeking direction from the Holy Ghost of God. How do you think all these old men of God walk God? Right here in this verse in Hebrews, he's talking about old Enoch. Old Enoch walked with God for generations. They had forsook God. For generations they had turned their back on God. But there was a little old man named Enoch rose up. He said, I'll not go the way of the generations. I'm going to go with God. He said, I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to listen to Him. And Enoch got so close to God that one day he was on a journey. They was a walking down the road. And God said, Enoch, praise God. We've down the road a long ways. We're closer to my house than yours. Let's just go on home. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God, that's what God wants to do for us, youngins. He just wants to get so close to us, and in just a little while, Brother Bill, He'll just take us on home. Amen. Amen. That's what God desires. Amen. But what do we desire today? If we're diligent seeking, you shall receive. Amen. Glory to God. Diligently seeking the Lord. Amen. Now we run into a snag most time because we're not diligent in our pursuit. We're just flippant about it, half-hearted, amen, in our approach to God. We're not sincere in our search. We're not sincere in our asking, amen. And we ask for the wrong reasons. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, Verse 3. Let's go back up to verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. He said, why don't you have the peace and the joy that you would desire to have? World, is because you're not asking for it. He said, you're not looking for it. You're not diligently seeking it. Amen? But now listen to what he says, verse 3. Said, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. He said, when you do ask, said you're asking for the wrong reason. He said, you're asking to make self look good. You're asking for that self-gratification. You're asking not because you want to be pleasing to God, but you're asking because you want God to do for you and to fix you up right then, to give you all the goods. Amen. Instead of diligently seeking, still desiring the Lord, instead of following God, you want to fix you up right then, make you perfect right then, so that so you never have to go back to Him again. Huh? He said, you ask amiss. Because you want to consume upon your own lust or your own desires. Said you got the wrong attitude in your asking. When we ask God to do something, we ought to do it with the right attitude. Amen. It's because we need to help, and we need help because we want to be pleasing to Him. Amen. Amen. Not to please ourselves so we'll look good to brother so-and-so. And amen. Something big in the world. Hello? But we want to ask because we have a desire to be pleasing to God. And when we're going to have that, when we ask in the right attitude, we ask for the right reason, God will begin to hear our prayers. Amen. God will begin to answer our prayers in the right way. Praise God. He will. He will answer them. But you can't ask amiss to receive it upon your own lust. You got to ask with a contrite heart, and you got to ask in the right attitude. You say, Lord, I want to just be pleasing to you. I want you to make me into that vessel that's pleasing to a holy God. Amen. Let me just say this tonight. You know what? You know, parents, there's several parents here tonight. Some of us, our youngins, has done God. But you know, our youngins still watch us every day. They see us every day. Amen. Even though if they may be gone, they may not see us every day, but they know what we're about. They know whether we're staying faithful. And amen, when they see us, they may be out of our house, but they're still watching our lives. Amen. They're still seeing what we do. We're still a reflection of who we need to be. And boy, if we're not the right reflection, then God help us. We've got to be that reflection for our youngins because they're continually watching us. The world will continue watching us, folks. Amen. And we got to have the right desires and the right attitude when we ask God to help us so that we can fix self up so we can help somebody else. I mean, that's what God's about. He's about being able to help one another, help us so we can help one another. Amen? He's a one another God, a one another kind of God. He wants us to one another to each other to death. Amen? Glory to God, He wants us just one another all the way home. Amen? That's the kind of God He is. But He wants us to do that. But when we ask, we need to ask because it's God's will. And we need to ask in confidence, believing. Amen. That's how you receive. You got to ask in confidence, believing. Look at 1 John chapter 5. He gives us that confidence. How do we have confidence? By the Word of God. Amen. Listen, I can't tell you nothing outside this book. Amen. If I told you anything outside this book, it'd be what I had to say. It wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. But praise God, God's got the help here right in the Word of God, in the lids of this book. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 5 rather, verse 10. Listen to what he says. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. Did you get that? He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave us, or gave of His Son. The record God gave of His Son. I believe it, don't you? Amen. He said, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Only way you have eternal life, hey, listen, you want to live forever? You want to live forever? You have to believe. The only way you do it is through Jesus. Through Jesus. This old body might die, but soul and spirit will go to be with God forever. And one glorious day, that body will be it'll be resurrected. It'll be gathered together in a glorified body with Him. Amen. But He said, He that hath the Son, verse 12, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That means you're dead. Amen. He said, Ephesians chapter 2, that we're dead in our trespasses and sin. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we're dead in trespasses and sin. We've done come short. We've missed the mark. But He said, with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're alive. We have life. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. You ought to underline that in your Bible. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Did you get that? God says you can know. It's a no-so salvation. You can know that you're a child of God if you've been born again. Because you got Jesus living in your heart. You got the Holy Ghost of God living in you. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A no-so salvation. And that's a confidence that we have. Is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't in me. It ain't in me. It ain't in Brother Bill. It ain't in the church. But the confidence that we have, the reason we gather here tonight to rejoice in the Lord, is because the confidence that we have in the Lord Jesus. Amen. If we didn't have Him, we could just sit at the house and have no hope with the rest of the world. But we gather tonight because we've got a blessed hope in Christ Jesus. We have confidence in Him. We have confidence. How do we have this confidence? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God. Verse 14 said, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, whose will? God's will. If we ask anything according to His will, He what? He heareth us. If we ask anything according to the will of God, He hears us. How do we know what the will of God is? The Word of God. The Word of God tells us the will of God, what God desires for me and you. So we take God's Word, His will for us, and we have the confidence to believe that if it's His will, if God says, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. He said, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. And He said, we got this confidence in God because He know that it's His will because He said so. Then we got it. He said, if we ask, we know that He hears us. Because we have the confidence that He hears what we're asking. And then verse 15 says that if we know that He hears us, and we know He does because it's His will. Amen? It's His will. And we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. We have. That's past tense. That means it's got it. It's a possession. It's yours. All you got to do is claim it. Amen? Said it's because God's will. God's will is that we have that. God's will is that we be filled with the Spirit of God. That we be being filled every day of our lives. Amen? Through the Spirit of God. It's God's will that we have that. Amen. We have the confidence. This is our confidence to believe that we have that God has promised that we can have. But go back to 1 John. Go back a couple pages to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, where do we get that? We get it from the Holy Ghost of God. He said, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Amen. God says, hey, listen, how do I understand the will of God? Brother Bill, how do I know what God's will is for me? I can read that book and will it make sense to me? He said, well, yeah. He said, because you've got an unction from the Holy Ghost of God. He said, you've got somebody there that's going to direct you and lead you in the path of truth, in what's right, what God's will is for us. I don't need another version. I just need the author of this one. Amen. Glory to God. I don't need something else to help me understand it. I just need the Spirit of God to lead me into the will of God. Amen. It'll work. It'll work all the way home. He said, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now look at verse 427. But the anointing which you have received of Him, how do you have it? It abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. He said the Holy Spirit of God begins to show you things. He said, just listen to him. He said, he won't lead you wrong. He said, he'll abide in you and he'll show you the right way. Ain't that a wonderful thing? Glory to God. Never lead you wrong. Always lead you in the right way. And he said, and ye shall abide in him. He said, it says he's in you and you abide in him. In other words, what he's saying when he's talking to you, you got to be willing to listen. You got to be willing to hear what the Holy Spirit of God's trying to tell you so that you can receive help and hope. You don't get mad at the preacher. You don't get mad at the Sunday school teacher. You don't get mad at God because he tells you that. But you receive it in and you rejoice in it. You make things right and you go in the direction God's pointing you. Simple as pie. Amen? Just follow, be followers of God. And in verse 28, he says this. He said, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. There it is again. There's that confidence. That we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. He said, just let the Spirit of God abide in you. Let the Spirit of God direct you and lead you. He said, then when the Lord shows up, he said, you'll be found faithful when he comes. Amen. That's how you stay faithful. By abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abiding with the presence of the Holy Ghost of God in you. Amen. That when he appears, you'll not be ashamed of his coming. So what he's trying to tell us here, Paul's telling us over here in Ephesians chapter 5, is that we've got to be filled with Spirit in order to have these things. That's how we have what we need. That we can be filled with the Spirit. And he said, once we become filled with the Spirit of God, he said, then you can begin speaking to yourselves in psalms. He said, you'll begin to rejoice in the Lord. You'll begin to see the things that God's got for you. You'll begin to proclaim the things of God. The psalms. What is the psalms? He said, you'll speak to yourself in psalms. He said, you'll begin to sing him spiritual things. Them psalms, them's writings of David's and others. Amen, it's the Word of God. And them psalms that they would sing. Amen, and bring joyful noise unto the Lord. But then he said, not only in them psalms, but also in the hymns. What are hymns? They're songs that give praise to God. Amen, praise and worship directly to God. Amen, that's what hymns are. So he said that there's some psalms and hymns that you begin to sing. And he said there's some spiritual songs. Amen. Now what spiritual songs? Them spiritual songs are those that's not carnal. Amen. It's not about going down to the bar and getting drunk, wrecking your pickup truck, losing your wife, your dog getting run over, and you're getting drunk, falling down. It's not about that. Amen. Some of them where you change them, run them, play them backwards, you get everything back, your dog's okay, and you get to go hunting more. Amen? It's not about that. It's not about carnal things. Spiritual songs are those that give praise and honor to God. That speaks spiritually. It speaks of the blood of Jesus Christ. It speaks of salvation. It speaks of Calvary and what God's done for us. That's what a spiritual song is. It speaks about what God's done for me and you. Amen? It ain't a bunch of foolishness, and it ain't, listen to me say this, it's not seven words sung over and over 11 times, because God ain't stupid. Amen. Amen. I said it. Glory to God. But it's spiritual songs. It's songs that magnify and glorify the God of glory. Amen. Praise God. He said, when you get filled with the Spirit, he said, that's what you want to do. You want to sing songs. Amen. Bring God. And he said, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. He said, what comes out of you don't come out by accident. It comes out because it's going out to God. Oh boy, I tell you, I like good Holy Ghost singing, don't you? Amen. There ain't nothing like when they get up here. Some of the best singing we've had around here is where they get the Cain Hippets and they try to cry and sing at the same time. Glory to God. Amen. Them some good singing. Amen. I like it. But he said, when you get in this attitude of mind, And you get filled with the Spirit. He said, then you begin to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, you begin to be thankful and you begin to praise God. You begin to realize, why would you do that? Because you begin to realize where your help comes from. You begin to realize where the encouragement comes from. You begin to realize where the satisfaction comes from. You begin to realize where that confidence comes from. It comes from Jesus. Amen. The God of glory. My Savior and yours. That's where it comes from. So he said, hey, listen. He said, just sit. Paul says, you got to be filled with the Spirit. He said, no. He said, put aside the worldly thing. He said, just be filled with the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God just begin to overflow you. Begin to possess you and help you. Amen. Hey, listen, I ain't talking about flopping around on the floor and speaking in tongues. God ain't in that mess. God never knocked nobody down. The Lord picked them up. Amen. He never chunked nobody on the floor and their skirt tails go a-flying. Just somebody had to run around and throw a blanket over them. God ain't in that mess. But when the Holy Ghost of God begins to move in your heart, I mean, when you begin to get help and you begin to grow spiritually, that's what God's talking about. You begin to have those godly and Godward desires. I mean, that's what's real. That's what God's looking for today. And He helps you through the Holy Spirit of God. Man, we just need to be mindful of Him today. Paul said, we just need to be mindful of the Spirit of God. Let Him move in our heart in the right way to the edifying of the God of glory. Amen? The edifying of our hearts to the God of glory. Amen. So He can begin to help us and give us that we need. Glory to God.